friend of mine, Clarence Jordan, went to preach in a church in a southern state in the early 50s, before segregation was really seriously attacked. Today in that same southern state, there's more social justice than there is in many of the northern states. But at this time, racism was extreme and segregation was extreme. And he went out on the pulpit to preach, just as I came out on this platform to speak to you tonight. And as he looked over the crowd, much to his surprise, much to his chagrin, the crowd was mixed, black and white, 50-50. It was a totally integrated congregation. He thought this was strange in the midst of this community in North Carolina where racism was so extreme. When the service was over, he asked the old hillbilly preacher, he said, "How'd you get this way?" The old hillbilly preacher said, "What way?" Clarence said, "Integrated like this. Black people, white people together. How did this happen?" He said, "I'll tell you how we got this way." He said, we were a small church. We had about 20 members. Well, Clarence said there were hundreds and hundreds in the congregation that night. We had about 20 members and the preacher died. We couldn't get a new preacher nohow. So, after about 2 or 3 months, I went to the deacons and I told them that if they couldn't get a preacher, I'd be the preacher. So they let me preach. I got up the next Sunday, I opened the Bible, I put my finger down. That's the way they do it back there in the hills. And it landed on a verse. It said, "In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. That everybody's one in Christ Jesus." And I told them that in the church, when a church is really a church, a true church, they don't know any of these racial divisions. They don't know any of these ethnic divisions. Everybody's one in the church of Jesus Christ. I preached that to them. And after service was over, the deacons, they called me in the back room. And they told me they didn't want to hear that kind of preaching no more. And Clarence said, "What'd you do then?" And this old hillbilly preacher said, "I fired them deacons." Well, you know, if a deacon's not going to deek, or an elder's not going to elder, you got to fire him. Clarence said, "How come they didn't fire you?" He said, "They never hired me." He said, "Once I found out what bothered those people," he said, "I gave it to them every week." You know preachers like that? Once they find out what bothers you, they put the knife in at the same spot every time and turn it. Clarence said, "Did they put up with it?" He said, "I preached that church down to 4. You know, sometimes people, revival begins not when you get a lot of new people into the church. Sometimes revival begins when what? Get a lot of the old people out of the church. He said, "I preached that church down to 4. Clarence said, "What happened then?" He said, "Well, from then on, we wouldn't let anybody in that church unless they really loved Jesus." So how can you tell whether people love Jesus? He says, "Well, when people love Jesus, they love each other no matter who the other person is." And we had people who loved each other and they didn't see each other as black or white. They just saw each other as brothers and sisters. And then we knew they were Christians. That night, Clarence went home to stay with a member of the church who was a PhD, a professor of English literature at the University of South Carolina. And on the way home in the car, he said to this brilliant member of the intelligentsia, "Why do you go to that church? That man can't preach a sermon without making 50 grammatical errors. And here you are, a professor of English, a PhD in English literature. Why do you go and listen to that man? He has no grammatical accuracy." And this young, sophisticated man turned to my friend Clarence Jordan and said, "Sir, I go to that church because that man preaches the gospel."